You're listening to Rotary Radio UK, where our guest today is Hugo Pike. Hugo, hello.
I'm very well, Steve. Nice to speak with you.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about the charity that you work for, which is Water Survival Box. Have I got that right?
Absolutely right. Yeah, it's a Rotary charity. Started back in, well, effectively in 2006, but it's had its origins in the Indian Ocean tsunami of 2004. And if you like, I'll just take you briefly through that.
Please do.
Yeah, what happened was in the July of 2004, my Rotary Club, or one of our colleagues, volunteered us as the club to take over the coordinating role for aqua boxes. And that was fine. And I guess in our district in those days, 100 boxes a year would be about par for the course for the whole district. And then came the Indian Ocean tsunami, and everything went way off the scale. Long story short, we packed because people donated loads and loads of items. They donated a lot of money as well. And we finished up packing 3,200 aqua boxes, but it took us 6 months to do it. The whole process, we realized, was actually slow. And if the object of the exercise was to save lives from waterborne disease, which was clearly what it was then and still is, then the whole process we considered needed to be speeded up. We didn't finish packing boxes until the May, and this had happened in Boxing Day. So sending them out by sea to take 6 or 8 weeks to get out to Indonesia was actually, in our view, not really achieving the object. Anyway, that's how it all started. And bringing it rapidly forward, it took us 18 months of not being able to persuade our friends in Wirksworth to speed up the whole process and streamline it. We were left with a very simple choice: forget all about it or do what we were telling them to do ourselves. And we decided to do that. I suppose a typical Rotary response to say, we think we can do this. The problem, in a sense, was we didn't have anything. All the money that had come in, all the donated items had gone out, and all the money had been spent. And about the only thing we were left with was a joint share of the Rotary PR Prize of the Year, which we share with a club in Gloucestershire. And it was to do with this project. Well, I wrote it up. I was chairing the group at the time, although it wasn't an official role. But it just fell to me to do that. And I wrote it up, and we finished up, as I say, being recognized in that way. So come the summer of 2006, we said, right, looks like this is not going to happen in Wirksworth. We better do it ourselves. No money, but we had a concept. We persuaded our club to back us. They did. Within the year, we also persuaded our district 1200 to back us, which they did. And then a year or so later, I think it was 2008, by the time we managed to get on the what was then called the Library of Projects. These were sort of opportunities to serve, approved projects under the umbrella of Rotary in Great Britain and Ireland. So we got to that point, and meantime, we started to generate money to build up a small stock of boxes. And the first distribution of boxes went out, I think that was in the end of 2006, when 60 boxes went out to the Philippines. And it's really just gone on and developed along the way. Various staging posts, if you like. As I say, 2008, we became an RIBI project. And then from there, we got invitations. People got to know about us, sometimes through the internet, and even from overseas. And we had an approach from Sweden, and that eventually led to an invitation to attend a Rotary conference. I think it was called a Rotary Zone conference. Covered two zones, actually, up in the north of Europe, based in Sweden. We went there, did a presentation, and had a stand, met quite a few people, and that sowed some seeds in Europe. Didn't actually come to fruition straight away. But over a couple of years, I then got another invitation to go and do another conference, another Rotary Institute conference in Denmark 2 years later. Then there came invitations to go to district conferences in Denmark and Norway. And again, that started to generate some support. The big breakthrough, perhaps in the overseas sense, is that a Danish Rotarian who knew all about us went to a Rotary Ski Week in Switzerland. And my basic story, which is not strictly true, is on the ski slopes of St. Moritz. He had a conversation with three Rotarians from Lucerne in Switzerland, told them all about this brilliant UK project, Rotary project, and encouraged their interest. They went back to their club. The club said, "That sounds very interesting. Find out more information." They went to Copenhagen. They didn't come to us. And then I knew this was taking place. One of my spies out there was telling me. And then from that, they got back to me and we started a dialogue, which took some weeks and months. But eventually, they said, when the next big disaster happened in 2016 out in Haiti, and of course, we'd responded to Haiti back in 2010 and so on, about which more later. They then said, "We'd like to support this. Can we raise an appeal in our district with our governor's permission?" "Yes, of course." And they did ran an appeal for just 2 weeks and raised enough money to pay for 200 boxes from the district in one fell swoop. That equals £30,000 in cash. So that was staggering. And then to fast forward it, from there they formed with our agreement. Within a year from that, and I went to Lucerne to launch it, Water Survival Box Switzerland. So, a subsidiary of ours whose only task in life is to raise money, which when we send a consignment of boxes out, they then ask, "What level of support would you like?" And invariably it comes back, "We'll do 50% of what it costs." And that helps us to stock up for the next one. And it's gone on like that ever since. So that's basically the potted history of how we got to where we are now.
It sounds to me that the model that you have is similar to the one used by Shelterbox.
Possibly, although Shelterbox is not like us. I mean, we're a pure Rotary project. I know they started off as a Rotary project, but we don't employ anybody. We don't have to pay any wages, don't have to have a big CEO or various layers of management and employees. So major distinction is that if we happen to have gone down a similar route, then that's almost coincidental. I think our 3 years down the road, having started, we had a review meeting and thought, well, where are we now? What sort of journey do we think we're going to take? And we already had ambitions to become RIBI wide, and that in a sense already was starting to be achieved. And then we thought, well, within 5 to 10 years, we'd like to be in Europe. And we actually achieved that quicker than that. And so that happened. But it's happened through Rotary contacts, of course, where people, you go and talk at a conference, they like what you're talking about. And in particular, the idea that you're a pure voluntary organization and all the money goes into the product.
Okay, you've talked quite a bit about the box. Can you describe what the box looks like and what's in it?
Okay, it looks like, although the colours are different, a green recycling box, at least down in our neck of the woods. It's about, if you can do the metric measurements, it's 600 by 400 by 300. So that's in sort of centimetres. So that's the sort of figure you're working with. And it's big enough to contain what we stripped down. The contents that used to go into the blue aqua box and took the view we're going to only put in what we consider to be essential, not desirable. And in that way, with the money that you're getting in, you're going to actually send more essential aid out than you would do if you're packing it with clothing, footwear, things like that, which may not even be appropriate depending on where they're going to finish up. We also have to pack them in advance, so you don't know where they're going to go. When you're packing. So it had to be a standard set of contents. But basically, the number one, two, three priority is about clean water. So the Gryf Aid water filter, the family water filter, we now use generation 5, which we've been using that now for about the last 3 years since it was developed by the team up in Cledon in Teesside. And we've been using that. So the number one priority is that that will deliver 200,000 litres of clean water. And what that represents for a family of five people, each one gets 20 litres every day for 5 years. It's a phenomenal piece of kit, and it's doubled the capacity of the previous, what we call Generation 4. We're on Generation 5. That's one of the major advantages. So that's a priority. And then after that, we concentrate on health and hygiene items, soap, toothpaste, toothbrushes. There's a female hygiene kit goes in there as well, something that wasn't originally in it, but which we realized after a visiting lady Rotarian asked the question, why aren't there anything in there? And I honestly had to admit, probably because we're all men. We rapidly recruited a lady Rotarian, Dot Cretney, who's now an assistant governor, as one of our trustees, almost in, by, as a direct response to that. So there's those sorts of items. And then you've got a kitchen set, which we opted again. We started off small, doing it cheap. Plastic items rapidly realized that that wasn't going to be good enough. So all the items in our box have to have a, if they're not consumable items anyway, have to have a minimum shelf life of daily use for at least 6 months. So we went for stainless steel. It's up to the International Federation of Red Cross standard. And that's the sort of line we've taken from the outset, is it's got to be good enough for a family who've lost everything to be able to start to rebuild their lives.
Let me take you back to the water filter, because the figures you quoted are quite staggering, I think worth repeating. How much water goes through one of these things?
Right. If they're okay, you can push through 90 liters an hour, but if you consume it at a sensible rate, and that can include not just for drinking water, but for food preparation and washing and all sorts of other things. Each member of a family of five can have 20 litres a day, or call it 100 litres a day for the family. And they will, it will deliver that. And the manufacturers have practiced developing these out in West Africa over many years now. They will do, that will deliver that every day for 5 years. Now, if you, another way of looking at it is if people in a disaster situation, which is of course what we're talking about, are in need of this, quite often they're going to not be in their individual family groups. They'll be all accommodated within a refugee camp somewhere. Now, in that situation, that one box could deliver enough water for 100 people for 3 months on a 20 litre a day basis. So it's very flexible in that sense, but is used by the people on the ground who decide how best to use it in the light of local circumstances.
That really is quite amazing. Where does your funding come from?
Okay, primarily from Rotary. 95%, I would say, comes from Rotary. And Rotary clubs obviously raise money in all sorts of different ways. We do. We ourselves annually commit £2,000 or whatever we raise to our own project, if only to demonstrate to everyone else that we're supporting it ourselves, over and above doing all the work involved. And when I say that, that's also not literally true. We do all the management work involved in the charity. And of course, we established ourselves a limited company to protect ourselves and the club right from day one, and became a registered charity within a couple of months of establishing the limited company. So that's the sort of basis on which we operate. It comes from Rotary clubs within our own district, from districts around the UK, and now also in Denmark, and a major amount from Switzerland for the reasons I've explained. I pinch myself every time I wake up and say, this is still happening, and it is. The fact that I had a Swiss mother probably did no harm in the dialogue when we were first setting it all up.
You've been listening to the first part of a podcast with Hugo Pike of Water Survival Box, the Rotary charity providing water services to people across the world in recovery situations. There's another podcast right on our website. You can find part two just by going back to rotaryradiouk.org. But in the meantime, we're going to play you out to a track by one of our favourite performers on Rotary Radio. This is Stacey Kent, and appropriately enough, the track is called Landslide.
Ocean tides, can I handle the sea?